And Father, I lift to you Margaret Aikenson, Father, and just thank you for taking care of her. And Father, for the people that have come today, that are here for the service, and for their families, Father, we just ask that you take care of their families, bless them, and look after them, and heal them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 15, has three parables together. And we're going to take a look at those briefly in the first two, and then we're going to get into the third one. The third one is... But in the first one, in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then drew nigh unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him." Now, what on earth is a publican? Okay, a publican is a tax collector. Now, at this time, Israel was under Roman rule. If you remember at the end of the years when Jesus Christ got crucified, they had to go to Pilate to get permission to do that. They were under Roman rule. And under Roman rule, the Romans would pick someone Jewish who was affluent in that community, and they would appoint them as tax collectors. And what they had to do was they had to go to each individual within the society, collect their taxes that Rome said was due to them, and anything that they didn't pay, they had to pay for out of their own pocket. So it was not necessarily a good job. They're put together, it says publicans and sinners, they're put in the same category, because many times these tax collectors were crooked, and they were also very rich at people's expense. But that's why they're put together. But that's the first group. Then the second group is verse 2. "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eats with them." What a Pharisee and a scribe is? Those are the guys I call the deputy dogs of the law. Their job was to see to it that people followed the law. And if you didn't, boy, I mean, they were on you like you name it. And these guys are already starting, Jesus Christ hasn't opened his mouth at all. And they're already talking about, well, look at him. Who does he think he is? He eats with those sinners, and taking care of them. They're already judging him. They're already judging him, and they're already talking about, he hasn't explained the parables or hasn't given them any words yet, and they're already talking about him. And then, what's the third group? So it's publicans, sinners, and Pharisees and scribes. Those are the people. Now, in the first parable, and this one bugged me for a while, I really had to do some work on this. In Luke chapter
15.
Well, in the first 10 verses. The first parable, and look for a theme that goes through with all three of these parables. But first, there's the parable of the shepherd with 100 sheep who loses one sheep and then leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one sheep that's missing. Well, that sounds very, very good in the fact that he's so concerned about this one sheep. But there's something, if you don't understand the Easter, that means breaking it down to a level that we can understand it in our culture. But a shepherd, if you had 100 sheep, how much sense would it make for you to try to take care of 100 sheep by yourself? If you have 100 of anything, it's going to take more than one person to take care of them. And that within that culture, you just knew that. If you've got, if a man has 100 sheep, he probably has 3 or 4, not 5 helpers, plus he has shepherds. So the point is he had help. So when it says that he left the 99 and went out into looking for this one that was missing, he didn't just leave him out there in the desert alone. He put them with water and with good care, and then he went off looking for that one that was missing. Now remember, there's a reoccurring theme here. The next one talks about a woman who had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. But I want you to listen to this. This is a book one of the books that I had to study when I was in Bible college. And this is by K.C. Pillai. K.C. Pillai was a Hindu priest. Point is, he knew the culture. He was born and raised in the East. He knew how they did things. And so he's going to explain the 10 pieces of silver. And so what I'm going to read is his explanation of the 10 pieces of silver. Because if you stop and think about it, if you had 10 pieces of silver, marriages in Eastern countries are still often arranged by the parents. He met her and she met him. It had already been prearranged. So they had never met before. But it was prearranged by the parents. The scriptures testify the fact that Jesus also knew the marriage custom and used them to teach God's will to the people. So he's using a parable, something that everybody understood in that group, and he's going to use that to explain it. And then in Luke chapter 15, verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece of silver. Why would you put all of that emphasis into looking for 1 out of 10? There was a very important part of that. When a woman was betrothed to a man, what he would do, the first time they met, she would have her hands open like this. And he would take 10 pieces of silver and put it in her hands. That 10 pieces of silver had gone from his mother to her mother through generations, and now he's giving it to his new wife. And that's why it was so important. In all honesty, she would have been put out for certainly, and she lost one. But it was very, very traumatic. She was given the responsibility of keeping all 10 of those, just as her mother-in-law had, and her mother-in-law before her had, and all so on and so on. So that was a significance in their culture to the 10 pieces of silver. That's why it was so important that she find it. Again, there's a reoccurring theme here. If you see it, let me know if you see it. But she lost the one, and everything stopped until she found it. She lit a candle, she swept the house until she found it. Now, the third parable is where we're going to start. And this is what most people erroneously call the prodigal son. I say erroneously. Why? Because it's more about the father and his forgiveness that we're going to focus on. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of the goods that falleth to me. That would have had the scribes and the Pharisees up in arms. Why? Because you didn't do that in that culture. If you have 2 sons, your inheritance was supposed to have been divided between them on your death. As you're dying, you're taking your last breath, you gave the oldest son 2/3, and the younger son got 1/3. That was on your deathbed, and anything other than that was very, very rude. This kid could have been taken out and stoned in that culture for having done this, because here his father is very much alive, and he's asking his father for his portion, his third now. There's a commercial that's running even now in this day and age, and it's called J.G. Wentworth, where the guy says, it's my money and I want it now. That's exactly the way this kid was acting. And that was rude, and that was certainly not tolerated in that kind of a culture. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed what? To feed swine. In that culture, you didn't have anything to do with swine. You didn't touch it. You didn't get near them. You didn't have anything. Yet this guy is so desperate now, he's blown his money, that he had to take a job with a pagan feeding his swine. In that culture, somebody who fed the swine was considered as one of the group. He was a pig in their eyes. And that's the way, and this is a good old Jewish boy, and that wasn't kosher at all. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he came to himself, in other words, he finally thought about it and just said, look, I can't continue this way. And said, how many of the hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? The servants in my father's home are treated better than I am. Maybe I need to go back home. Maybe I need to think about going back home. Verse 18. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. What was the sin against heaven? Remember, in that culture, you didn't have anything to do with pigs. In that culture, he had no right to ask his father for his portion of the inheritance. He had blown it in so many different ways. And then on top of that, he had sinned against his father. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. And this is where really the heart of the father shows up. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the picture on the front that you see. That's the father greeting his son who had disrespected him, had done cultural things that were wrong, but yet the father loved that son so much. Now, what is the reoccurring theme here? Remember in the first one we had the shepherd that lost one sheep and dropped everything and went looking for that sheep that was lost. In the second parable, we have a woman who had lost one piece of silver out of 10. She still had 9 left, but everything stopped until she found that. And then in this last one, this is a young man that has disrespected his father, his culture, and everything. And now he's, after spitting this, he's blown his portion of the inheritance. And he's coming home and he's saying to his father, you know, here I am. Make me one of your servants. At least give me what you give them. And yet the father accepts him back and runs out and gives him a hug and kisses him. That father was kissing a pig in that culture. Can you imagine that? But that's how much the father loved his son. Again, the reoccurring theme here, that father represents God Almighty. And the three different examples, the three parables, that's when we blow it. That's where and when we blow it. Yet every time we come back to God, he's there with arms wide open and ready to receive us. That's how big a God we serve. That's how big a God. Let's read a little more. Verse 22, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, not a robe, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, this disobedient son. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Most of the servants did not wear shoes. They did not have sandals. but yet a son, someone of royalty, will always have them. And that ring is a signet ring. That was the family credit card. In other words, you took that ring and they saw that and they said, oh, you're one of Don's kids. Come on in here. You can have whatever I give Don. And that gave him the right to buy things for the family. And this is a son who had been disobedient, verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat. That was what you did when royalty came by. You would kill a fatted calf and it would feed the community from that calf. Yet he did that for a disobedient son. Verse 24. And this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Again, this is how God looks at anyone who has fallen off, but yet comes back to him. This is the Father represents God Almighty. Now, only one problem with that, the brother. The father forgave, but what about the brother? Verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and when he came nigh unto the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, well, what's going on? What does this mean? Verse 27, and the servant said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Verse 28, and he was angry. What was he? Was he glad to see his brother back? No. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and entreated him. Said, look, son, come on in here. Your younger brother is home. He's back. Come and rejoice with us. Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I haven't done anything wrong. I've done everything you've asked me to do, and at any time I have not transgressed your commandments. Now, I have a problem believing that, because I've raised kids, and I know that they aren't always going to do what you tell them to do. But this young man claims that he always did it perfectly. I have not one time have I disobeyed you. And yet, you have never given me a kid, in other words, killed a goat for me or a calf, that I might make merry with my friends. Verse 30, but as soon as thy son comes, thy son, that's his brother they're talking about. And he can't even call him his brother. As soon as thy son, this disowns him completely, has come, thou hast devoured that his living with harlots, thou killed for him the fatted calf. Verse 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Verse 32. It was meet that we should be merry. Take merry. And be glad, for your brother was dead and his wife alive again. The father, on the back, the father represents God and his never-ending love for us. That's how God treats us anytime we go astray and we come back. We say, Father, I've blown it. Thank you for forgiving me. This should serve as an example as to how we, as parents, are to love our families and, what? Our neighbors. Our neighbors. God Almighty is calling us to a fully functional family in which God is our Father, Jesus Christ is our big brother, and the church represents our brothers and sisters and our neighbors. Our neighbors. And then I go into John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells you how to get born again. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. You can't do anything to earn your way to heaven. You cannot by your works earn any grounding points of God. It is the grace of God that allows us to have that. For the grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that lest any man should boast. And then I go into that thing I've talked about many times before, for we are God's workmanship. Remember the word workmanship means masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. God looked at that son who had been disobedient, and he had blown it royally, even going out and eating with the pigs, and forgave him. That's how much he loved him. He was restored. Restored to fullness. Well, the other son you're right. Very good point. Very good point. Now everything that was had was the older son. The son was cursed. Yeah, I hadn't even I'll have to go back and confirm that. Casey Pillai talks about that as well, among other things. But the thing is, the reason I studied Casey Pillai is light through an Eastern window. Casey Pillai was a bishop in the Hindu faith who got converted to Christianity. And so he came over to America and started teaching throughout America the different culture things, idioms, and like the 10 pieces of silver, and like all of that. You bring up a very good point, but I know that his son, that he was restored because he got the fatted calf, he got the signet ring. Now, as far as the father's gifts or whatever, the inheritance, he lost his. He spent his inheritance. Right. But he still has the benefits of being a son.
I was just wondering, in the future life,
oh,
how they treated him. Everything.
Yeah. Well, we know how his brother treated him. His brother was not pleased at all. And we know how culturally he would have been treated. The scribes and the Pharisees were going bonkers on this. They were already saying that Jesus Christ was eating with sinners and so on and so forth. They were getting on his Christ, and eventually got him crucified. They did not appreciate it. But you know who did appreciate it? God. And we have to remember that. God. And then the last verse I have here is 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. And this is from the Phillips Bible. I write these things unto you, and this is from the Amplified Bible. May I call you my children, for that is how I think of you, to help you to avoid sin. But if any man sin, as the younger son did, remember that our advocate before the Father is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Do you know what that means to be an advocate? We've talked about this before.
The one who came out for him.
Right. That's his defense attorney. That's his lawyer. And that's who goes to bat for you whenever you blow it. Whenever you blow it and you come back to God and you say, God, you know, I've blown it. I'm sorry. You have an advocate with our defense attorney before the Father. The one who made personal atonement for our sins and for those of the rest of the world as well. That's just how big that God's love is for us. And we've got to remember that. And more importantly than that, than our remembering, we've got to share that love and teach it to others as well. Right now, there's a lot of things going on in this world that don't need to go on. But we have within us the ability and the word, and we know that God has a desire to heal and to care for each and every one. And even those people who've blown it, he still calls them back into the family and still gives them forgiveness and grace and allows them to be called his sons. That's how big a God we serve. So that's the reoccurring theme in all three of these parables. And if you don't read the parables together, if you don't understand the idiom behind them, some things get lost in the understanding because you don't see the connection between the sheep that's lost and the parable with the 10 pieces of silver and one gets lost. And then all of a sudden, now it goes to the big thing, the son, who has intentionally blown it. But yet, when he came back, God received him back. And that's just how big a God we serve. And that's the God we need to teach others about. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for helping us to understand. And Father, for just knowing how big you are and your love is for each and every one of us, Father. But that we have a responsibility too. And that's not to be the older brother condemning and pointing out the errors. But Father, that we are to openly receive people as well and help them find you and find your love and get born again. Father, come back to the fold, for they are truly our brothers and sisters. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.